Welcome to the Senior Hour, which is sponsored by Providence Holy Cross Medical Center, Hestia Med Spa, and Comfort Keepers in Home Care. I'm Barbara Carkin with my co-host, Dr. Jean Doreau, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. This is a show for, about, and by seniors, giving information to enhance one's quality of life. And our guest this morning is the one and only Dr. Thomas Pilecki.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we
welcome,
are going
Thomas.
To be talking about...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Hi, Jean. Hi, Dr. Doreau. I'm glad you could join us.
Oh, hey.
I heard you click in there.
Yeah, I definitely am on the line.
Okay, great. So,
but not a tightrope.
There you go. So today, I'd like to talk about something relevant to this audience for sure, and that's anti-aging factor fiction, especially here in a suburb of Los Angeles. You know, the most, shall we say, plastic society in America, or at least one of them. When we hear the term anti-aging, it most people think of things like plastic surgery and some kind of hormonal cocktail to make you feel like a teenager again. And that can be a beautiful thing. I'm not opposed to any of that at all. Do whatever you can to feel and look the way that you want to. Now, that being said, there are a few caveats with that. One is, first of all, is it really what you want, or do you feel that you have to look and feel a certain way in order to be loved or accepted? And that is one of the big things I want to address in today's show. And number two is that feeling within, is that program that you're having done with some kind of doctor, especially the hormones. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not qualified to even make any assumptions about what goes on there. However, I am medical director to over 300 functional medicine practitioners in America. And what that means is I oversee the labs that these practitioners are submitting for their patients, and occasionally give some guidance as far as, okay, what does, you know, this really show, and what's the next steps look like? Now, that being said, I see a lot of work coming in. And whenever I see estrogen or testosterone levels 40, 100 times the functional range, there's only two things that can cause that. One is some kind of cancer, and two is hormone therapy. And this is something that needs to really be taken seriously for people who are receiving any kind of hormone therapy, that those numbers need to be closely monitored. Because we know from a study that was done, maybe Dr. Doreau can help me out on this, approximately 20 years ago, I believe, give or take, maybe a little bit more than that, it was originally being put out there to support the benefit of hormone therapy for bone loss. So they did this huge study across the nation, thousands and thousands and thousands of participants in this study. All of them were receiving hormone therapy, mostly estrogen, in the hopes that it would show how good estrogen was for bone loss. And the study got short. It got cut short pretty quickly, because what they were finding was that a lot of these people who were receiving estrogen therapy for bone loss were developing higher risk for cancer, heart attack, and stroke.
But at the same time, was it
breast cancer especially?
Yes, it does. There's no question about it. There's no question about that testosterone will put on muscle mass. Testosterone will give you a certain vitality, a certain virility, but testosterone can easily convert over to the most dangerous form of estrogen. And estrogen, you know, has only one step, and so does testosterone. That final step that converts it into the one subtype of estrogen, because most estrogen is really good for you, and it does things like improve your bone mass. It improves your skin. It improves a lot of things. It is actually very, very good and vital, both for men and women. And people get a little confused on this about, well, you know, testosterone is in men and estrogen is in women, and that's the way it is. But we all have the same hormones, and they, on a functional level, outside of reproduction, they all do essentially the same things in our bodies. Men have estrogen, and it does the exact same thing, except obviously, you know, in the reproductive cycle, as it does in women. And they're all critically important. Now, as we age, part of the natural process is that especially the sex hormones start to decrease in age. And that causes, in women, that causes some problems with the reproductive cycle. The most common things are, you know, symptoms of menopause, where you have the hot flashes, because as estrogen starts to decrease in your body, a different hormone that stimulates estrogen production in your brain, called follicle stimulating hormone, starts overreacting to the drop in estrogen. And every time that your brain puts out a little squirt of this follicle stimulating hormone, you vasodilate like crazy. So that's when your body temperature starts rising. You can actually feel the heat coming off someone who's experiencing a hot flash. And that can disrupt sleep, and it's just a nightmare to deal with. Now, that being said, it's easy enough to stop these symptoms by giving this person a little bit of estrogen. And how much depends on a lot of different factors. And we found out the hard way, the reason that I became involved in functional medicine in the first place was because my wife went through this process, and no matter how much estrogen she was taking from a very good practitioner, she was still having the problems. She was still getting these sleepless nights with the night sweats, so bad that she was sleep deprived, couldn't drive, couldn't function, couldn't leave the house for, you know, the better part of a year. And then finally, we found somebody who was doing what I consider functional medicine. Bioidenticals is not, just because someone offers bioidenticals doesn't mean that they're doing functional medicine.
What are bioidenticals?
Bioidenticals are hormones that are derived from plants, but they're molecularly identical. Their structure is the exact same structure that are the hormones that are running through your body right now. So you can give this person this plant-based hormone and reproduce the same effect that if the human body was producing it itself. That's the idea, and that's the theory behind it. And it works. There's no question about it. However, there's a lot more involved. First of all, you've got to give it in a reasonable amount. You can't give 40 times what the body needs in order to make something happen and expect everything to be good. You can't do any of that without monitoring how is that affecting the liver, how is that affecting the heart, how is that affecting all the vital organs, because if you're not looking at any of that stuff, the first sign that you're running into a problem might be a life-threatening emergency. So when we finally got a what I consider a functional evaluation, we saw where the problem was. We saw why, no matter how much estrogen my wife took, she was still experiencing these menopausal symptoms. And it wasn't in her ovaries. It wasn't a factor of how much estrogen she had or didn't have. It was a factor of her liver function. And the more that estrogen that you throw into this equation, the more damage you do in the liver. So not only was it not the appropriate protocol just to throw estrogen at this symptom, it was actually life-threateningly dangerous. So when we found out that it was a liver issue and not so much an estrogen issue, we started the process of rehabbing her liver instead.
So how did you realize that that was the problem? Did she have to go to another doctor for more tests and more?
Well, I became that doctor is the answer. So the problem was that no matter what we did, following the advice of very credible and very good practitioners, they were looking at the wrong thing, and we didn't even know. I didn't know anything about functional medicine. You know, it's been around since about the time that I became a doctor. It's been around for a little bit over 30 years. And I have been doing bits of pieces of it just because I'm more of a natural practitioner, a more holistic practitioner. But when it came to hormones, I have the same training as any medical doctor, and that is which hormone is related to which disease and how does it affect which part of the reproductive cycle. You know, we know about Barbara Bush's Graves' disease. We know about JFK's Addison's disease, you know, and how those things are either a function of some problem with the adrenal gland or some problem with the thyroid gland. We know about diabetes and how there are different types of it, that it can be an autoimmune disease. It can be a genetic defect. It can be a problem of just having too much sugar in your diet for too long, for too much of your life, which is the most common form. So we learn, all doctors, every single doctor, anybody who is legally allowed to call themselves some kind of doctor, and I don't mean like a doctor of philosophy, I mean a doctor of dentistry, medicine, chiropractic, whatever, any healthcare practitioner that has the title of doctor, we all learn the same things. We all have the same prerequisites. We all have the same basic sciences. It's absolutely required. There's no discrimination at that level. And I can tell you exactly what we learn. I mean, I just went over it. You learn the diseases. You learn the different steps within, let's just say, the reproductive cycle, puberty, and a little bit about menopause and all of the diseases. And that's pretty much the extent of it. As far as functional levels and how these levels interact with each other and how there are feedback mechanisms throughout the entire body and how they all have to be regulated and working together, mostly by the central nerve system, but there are also feedback mechanisms in every cell, in every organ, in every system in the body. And if you're not paying attention, you can get into trouble pretty quickly. So that's where functional medicine, that's the strong point of functional medicine. We look at these numbers very differently than a medical doctor does. We look at these numbers like, okay, so here's what the baseline of functionality for estrogen in a man looks like, in a woman looks like. What are the subtypes doing? What are the three different subtypes of estrogen doing? What are the subtypes of the subtypes doing? Because it's only one subtype of estrogen that is the dangerous one. And but the tricky bit is that both testosterone and estrogen, any form of estrogen, is one step away from turning into that killer estrogen. And if you're not watching that one closely, you can get in trouble real quick. So when we started looking at that, and we started looking at, okay, so, well, her hormone levels aren't normal, and she's taking a heck of a lot of estrogen. Why? So we looked at, you know, okay, what are the contributing factors? Well, the liver is a big contributing factor as far as how everything is filtered and regulated in your body. And when we saw those results, we totally shifted gears. And literally within 2 weeks, she was 80% better after nearly 2 years of being incapacitated by this.
Good Lord.
And we were able to use a much lower dose of estrogen in order to make everything work normally again.
Well, once you have to go on estrogen, do you stay on it for the rest of your life?
Well, it depends on why you're on estrogen in the first place. A lot of women are on estrogen, one, to get over the symptoms of menopause. Like, it can be brutal for some women. Some women don't even know. They just stop having their periods, and it doesn't affect them in any other way, except for, you know, some sensitive areas regarding sex. Outside of that, a lot of women don't even know that they went through estrogen. They just stop producing estrogen, and, you know, they go about the rest of their lives. But for some women, like my wife, it was disabling. I mean, totally disabling. So those are the people who tend to need some kind of help through that process. And those are the people who tend to wind up on some kind of hormone therapy, whether it be conventional hormone therapy, which is synthetically derived, and I'm not getting into that, or bioidentically derived, which some people believe is safer. I'm here to tell you that if you're overdosing on bioidentical hormones, it's just as dangerous as synthetic hormones. I just think that it might be a little bit easier to overdose on synthetic hormones because they are so concentrated.
Oh, interesting.
So let me mention the caveat here. The understand this is 2022, and we know a lot about medicine, and sometimes we think we know a lot about medicine. But in reality, a lot of the mechanisms that we've talked about, the balancing part that you brought up, are, you know, with feedback and regulation and things like that, those we don't know about a lot. We don't know the mechanisms. And since we don't, and I think 50 years from now, we'll know a lot more. 100 years from now, definitely. But since we're not in Star Trek VI at this point, there are just things we don't know that are contributing. And therefore, for anyone taking any medication, there is a balance. And you have to be aware and careful of the balance. You might feel better, but like you said, Tom, it could affect your liver. It could affect other the adrenal gland, thyroid, or other organs in the body. So you do have to be careful. The science is good, but it's not great.
Right.
And we just have to remember that when you're taking something artificial, wherever it's coming from, there are ramifications to it. So be careful out there. It's not simple. It's not something that doctors know about. We'll learn about it, but you don't want to be have the consequences of, like you said, Tom, being overdosed.
Yeah, you don't want to learn the hard way, trust me.
yep, exactly.
Yeah, so when we come back in the next segment, I'd like to address, you know, a gentler and kinder approach to anti-aging, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Anti-aging, huh?
Yeah, well, there, you know,
what's wrong
it
with
sounds
pro-aging.
Well, that's one of the points.
Okay.
So, aging well, doing it the right way, instead of anti-aging. Let's say aging exquisitely.
Okay. Well, we need to take a break. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Jean Doreau, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. When I'm 64. Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Jean Doreau, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. And we're speaking with Dr. Thomas Palucky, a chiropractor here, and continue.
Yeah. So I hate to correct you, but I am also a published author. You have my book. Have you read it?
I'm halfway through it.
Awesome. Okay, great. And I'm also medical director to over 300 functional medicine practitioners in America, and that's what I want to focus on today. Mostly about the fact and fiction behind anti-aging. And you brought up a great point. Instead of anti-aging, which has some controversy around it, how about better?
Aging better.
And that is a good point as far as the negative connotation in this culture. And this is a fairly unique development in this society within this generation or maybe the past couple of generations. But having a negative stigma attached to your age is a fairly recent development. And it is bad here in this country. We idolize youth and do everything we can to promote youth. And most of us will fall victim to that at some level in our lives, unless you do a lot of self-work. And when I say self-work, that is preparing yourself and strengthening your inner self-worth about, you know, how you feel about yourself, instead of what society is saying about, you know, your situation, whatever it may be. You have to meet a few criteria, a few absolute basic necessities in the way you feel about yourself in order to function in this society. And unfortunately, most of the outside influence is making you feel bad about yourself in some way or another so that they can sell you something, so that they can sell you the quick fix to how bad you feel, because they made you feel bad in the first place. They make you feel bad, and then they sell you the cure, right? So that's the scary situation that we find ourselves in. But the reality is, this is unique. This has not been this way. And pretty much every native culture honors their elders. They appreciate the experience, the wisdom that comes with experience. And I'm not saying that chronology, like the calendar, automatically imparts wisdom. I'm saying that if you're around long enough and you make the same mistake enough times, some people are smart enough to learn and say, okay, maybe I should do it another way. And if that happens enough, they eventually stumble upon the right way to do things so that they now know how to do it and they don't have to make all the mistakes in order to get there. That's wisdom. And that has been valued in every culture throughout history, up until just recently, because now we have all the information available to us on a person's phone right now, anybody's phone that they probably got for free by signing up on some carrier, some service, some mobile phone service, has more computing power than it took to get to the moon. They have instant access to more information than's in the Library of Congress. You could be anywhere on the planet, almost anywhere on the planet right now, and access this stuff, unless you're driving through a canyon here where the cell signal always drops out no matter who you have. But if you can get to a cell tower, you have access to an extraordinary amount of information. So now we don't rely, we don't respect, we don't depend on people who have firsthand experience. We think we can just ask a question into our phone and get the right answer, and that's a very dangerous assumption to make. Just because there's millions of hits on a specific question doesn't mean any of those answers are the right answer for you. They could be technically right for some people some of the time, but the likelihood that they are going to be the right answer every time for every person under every condition is very minimal, especially when it comes to healthcare. So it's one thing to ask your phone, okay, how do I change the oil filter on a 2016 Ford Mustang EcoBoost? You're going to get a pretty accurate answer on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask your phone, why can't I sleep at night? And you think you're going to get an accurate answer from your phone? That's a very dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, Dr. Dorio and I had to go to 10 years of school to figure out the logical process of working that problem out for each person who comes to us asking that question. And that, there's a lot of push on artificial intelligence, and some things it's really good at, but there are some things that still, I think a person with the proper training, and more importantly than the proper training, the proper ability to think methodically and logically and systematically is going to do better.
You know what? As you get older, your mind plays funny tricks with you.
Sure does. And that's one of the things I'd like to talk about. You take our supplement. It used to be called memory support, remember?
Yes.
We switched it over to neurosupport because a lot of the nerves in the brain are in other parts of the body too, and we found that these nerves, if they're damaged in any way, they all require similar support. So instead of just limiting to the problem of declining memory with age, we know that these same supplements help with nerve repair, whether it be in your foot or your hand or your spine or your brain. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time on that.
I want to get some of that. I've run out.
Okay.
That and vitamin D.
Yeah, both important.
So, yes.
Especially important. A big thing came out on anti-aging just this week, and that's why I picked this topic for this show. And it said that half of all cancers on the planet can be totally avoided by following a few simple rules. And the funny thing is, they almost read my book. I was like, are you kidding me? They're almost saying my book word for word as far as self-care, as far as what you need to do about rest and exercise and supplements and nutrition and stress management. Word for word. And one of the big things, they also got into a few things that I'm a little iffy on, but I understand why they had to mention it, and I understand the mistakes in the thought process about why they went there, but I take issue with the one thing that I do not agree 100% on, and that is that they highly recommend people stay out of the sun, and if they are in the sun at all, that they use sunscreens. And the reason for that is that melanoma is a killer, and it's a substantial killer, and they want people to avoid that form of cancer. I totally agree on that. But what they don't get is that vitamin D is a great treatment for melanoma. The problem is that when people go out into the sun and they produce the vitamin D, they don't realize that the vitamin D is excreted out onto their skin and can take up to 24 hours to absorb back in and protect you from the melanoma. So what happens is they go out, they get the sun damage, they get the ultraviolet damage, which nobody questions, and they don't get the benefit from the vitamin D because they wash it off before it's had a chance to soak back into their skin and protect them from the damage that happened from the exposure to the ultraviolet. So especially in this society at this time, with everybody doing sunscreens and hiding from the sun like they're in some Twilight movie or something, you need to supplement. And it's a big problem. conventional medicine recognizes the big problem with vitamin D deficiency in this country, especially with seniors. So the supplements, not all are created equally. And I'm not a big fan of the vitamin D that goes into fortified foods. That's ergocalciferol. That's vitamin D2. The type of the bioidentical vitamin D is cholecalciferol. That is the vitamin D that your body excretes when it's exposed to ultraviolet radiation. So we like the bioidentical form of vitamin D.
That's
to
what
protect
you. Sell.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's what you have.
Yeah.
Except that the bottles are too small. They don't last that long.
Well, we also like sublingual delivery or actual topical delivery, because that's how the body is designed to accept vitamin D. If you put it in the digestive tract, it can be done, but that has to make another pass through the liver, and you're creating a load on the liver that you don't necessarily have to do by introducing it some other way. And I'm also not such a fan of getting a shot of a mega dose of vitamin D, like 50,000 units at a shot. That can, even with the right kind of vitamin D, that can put an unnecessary strain on the liver as well.
Well, you mean doctors give you vitamin D shots?
Oh yeah, it's a very common practice.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I don't, because I don't like that. I don't think it's a good idea to load up the body that quickly with so much in one sitting.
Interesting. Well, you know, in this community, we have a lot of seniors.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. Don't you agree, Dr. Gene?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, but the other side of the coin is we have a senior center that plays a big role in maybe not physically, but it, in a high way it does, but mentally having camaraderie and a place to go. So we're socially doing our part by having places where seniors can meet, get exercise, have good nutrition, and do all the things that Thomas is talking about. Even getting rest, because recently with the heat wave, you know, many have been able to come over to our senior center and be in air conditioning, whereas at their home, they sometimes will turn the air conditioning off. So this community has done great, and yes, we are a big senior community here, but you know, we're doing everything we can, you know, other than giving vitamin D shots at our senior center.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yesterday, both of my kids came down and spent the day with me. They got here about 10:30 yesterday morning, and they left about 8 o'clock last night. And we went to lunch, we went to a movie, we went to dinner.
Mm.
And it's interesting because we were sitting next to a couple, and they were talking. You couldn't help but hear what she was talking about, her mother. And my son interrupted. He said, "I'm sorry to hear about your mom." Well, come to find out, she was 71 years old, and she was absolutely doing nothing. She was sitting around all the time and just not doing anything. And her daughter was trying to, you know, figure out what was going on with her. And I said, "Well, has she been to the senior center up here?" "No." "Does she have friends who like to do things?" "No." She said she's lost all her friends because she won't do anything.
Mm.
And my son says, "Wow, I've never been able to get my mother to stop doing things." And I he knows,
right.
And so does Dee Dee. They know that me keeping busy, especially after I lost Russ, me keeping busy is what has kept me going.
Sure.
Doing things, being with people, you know, being active. And she asked me how old I was. She said, would you mind if I asked how old you were? How old you are? And I said, no. I said, I'll be 86 in a couple of months. She said, what? I said, yes, I'll be 86. She said, you don't even look 70. I said, well,
there
thank you,
go,
you very much.
Anti-aging.
And she said, and I said to her, I said, try to get your mom to go out. Do something with her. Take her places. Take her to a movie. I said, and she'll start to feel better. She really will.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what's kept me going, is being around my friends and being around. I said, you both come here, you know, because I will not drive there, because I won't drive by myself.
Yeah.
It'd take me 40 minutes on that freeway, and I don't do
14.
It. If anything, they'll come down and get me and bring me back home, because I don't mind driving around town where it's always stopping and starting. But when you're on the freeway going that far, you know, because it takes you about 40 minutes to get there. And I drove up there not too long ago, and the cars were just screaming around.
Yep.
Unbelievable. And yeah. I said to myself right then, no more.
Yeah.
If anything, I'll
that'll get
Uber,
you old path.
Which I did once, and I absolutely will not do it again. I said, if you want me to come up there, you have to come and get me. I'm sorry, but yeah. I will not drive, and I will not take an Uber. Yeah. I said, I want to be on this earth
right.
a lot longer, and taking care of myself by not driving up to Palmdale, which a lot of people do, but the traffic is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's frightening. It really is.
So another important study right before we go to our final break just came out. The way you think about aging may be the most important aspect of aging well. Whether you believe that as you're getting older, you're gaining experience, you're gaining time because it's not tied up with having to survive on a day-to-day basis. You're gaining wisdom because you've probably made most of the mistakes that you're going to make in your life already, and you can just cut to the chase and do the right thing. So when you frame aging in that setting, that I'm learning, I'm contributing, I'm visiting with family and friends and surrounding myself with loved ones, and I now have the time and the wisdom to be a productive part of this society, it totally changes your physiology, and they're able to measure this, and it may be the most important aspect of aging well.
Yep.
I would agree with you, and we need to take another
break. I agree totally.
Yes. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Jean Doreo, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220. Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Jean Doreo, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220, KHTS. And we're speaking with Dr. Thomas Palacki, a local functional medicine doctor.
Hey,
I did it.
I like that.
I did it.
That's good. And published author.
Gotta
get that in there. So I'm going to just take a quick minute because I want to spend the rest of the show, which is only a few minutes, congratulating Dr. Doreo on getting that bill that he's been working so hard past. Can you talk a little bit about that briefly?
Oh, yeah. It's Bill AB 2338. You can still look it up, but Robin Clow and I, Robin from the Senior Center, initiated this October of last year. It was picked up in February of this year by Assembly Member Mike Gibson, and it's gone through the Assembly and now through the State Senate. And last Thursday, it passed through the Senate, and we calculated the votes that were total during this ride, 206 yes votes and one no vote on our bill. So what it does is it adds next of kin to California law. Should you come to the hospital and you're unconscious, you don't have an advance directive, the hospital administrators or HMOs, administrators can then take over decision-making. This law puts into effect next of kin instead. Other states, 46 out of 51 states in the United States, have this law already. California does not. So we've got, this has passed and will be added to the law, and we just have to get the governor to sign it, but we don't feel that that's going to be a veto or a problem. So we're all excited at the Senior Center and in Santa Clarita for doing this. And all I can say, and Robin and I can say, is you can do it too. If you think there ought to be a law for something, you know, bring it forward. Well, over at the Senior Center, we'll help you get it through, because there are many things that are not just and right. And Santa Clarita is known to make things just and right. So feel free. Thank you for asking, Thomas. I mean, it's been a long haul, but it only took 6 months. That's not bad.
No, it isn't. What's the number again?
AB, that's Assembly Bill 2338. It was our proposal. Now it's passed the legislature and is now becoming law.
Fantastic.
Thank you for all your hard work on that, and I hope people appreciate what goes into all of that. You know, I mean, you have your day job, and then you go certainly above and beyond making these things happen for our community. I just want to give people a quick idea about how they may contact me, probably for this group, this setting. The best way is by phone, 661-753-9340. I am online. It's drpolucki.com, drpolucki.com, where you can see over my, I think there's well over 1,000 blog articles, and my store, where, and links to get my book, get all of my products that Barb is such a big fan of.
Oh, yes. They work, obviously.
Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Thomas Pawlucki, for being on our show again. We appreciate it. Always super interesting conversation. We are sponsored by Comfort Keepers in Home Care, Providence Holy Cross Medical Center, and Hestia Med Spa. Listen to us next week on the Senior Hour. Now go and enhance your quality of life.